Hi in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Ghost of the Titanic, published at the beginning of this century. Charles Pellegrino is the author. The revelations about Titanic have dominated the news ever since because of the human interest. The people who lost their lives, the nature of the catastrophe at the time, the unsinkable Titanic, and also research that's been done by Charlie and his colleagues diving to the Titanic. We begin, however, with something that you can picture if you've ever seen any of the movies, Jim Cameron's movie of the Titanic or The Night to Remember, any of the movies or documentaries. It's the Marconi instrument that was on board, an experiment at the time, meaning the Titanic represented the frontline thinking of the communications revolution that we continue here in the 21st century. I welcome Charlie, the author of Ghosts of the Titanic. We're going to dive to the Titanic, but just a moment. Charlie, the telegraph key, why was it so critical that night of the Titanic sinking? What did a Marconi shack represent? Good evening to you.
Right. Up until the time of the Marconi device, if a ship sank, people would get into the lifeboats and the ship would be gone and no one would know that it was gone until maybe 3 or 4 days later, the ship never arrived at its port. Meanwhile, the people in those boats, especially if the water happened to be rough, especially if they were in cold water, as in the North Atlantic in April, they would almost all be dead by the time anyone went out looking for them. So a lifeboat was considered at that time by most people a good way to commit suicide to avoid getting drowned. And even on the Titanic, it had not quite caught on to most of the passengers that that Marconi device was going to save lives. It was considered a toy to write to send out a signal to a friend in New York and say, yeah, George and Martha from Omaha, we're having a great time. Wish you were here. Oh, by the way, buy these stocks. And it was just considered this kind of toy. Most people hadn't recognized yet that it was a huge rescue device. And everyone who survived the Titanic really has that little telegraph key in the Marconi shack to thank for it. And those two men, Harold Bride and Jack Phillips, who stayed at that key till the very, very end, until water was actually coming into the Marconi shack up over their ankles.
Charlie, where's the Marconi key today? Where is it?
It's somewhere still within that room, within the Marconi shack. And they've already sent robots in and seen that a lot of the equipment is still there. You can see that before they left the room, one of those two men pulled the levers and shut off the power to the device before he left.
Artifacts from Titanic, they exist, Charlie's dives all evidence the artifacts, but part of the artifacts is something living. It's called a rusticle. What is a rusticle, Charlie?
Yeah. At first, it was thought to be icicle-like rust formations. And Bob Ballard named them rusticles when they first saw them in 1986 during his first dive. And they were one of the most interesting things to people like me and Roy Cullimore, microbiologist. We knew bacteria must be involved, and what are they? Finally, in 1996, we started to get samples, and when we were out there, and we realized that these are a whole new form of life. It's a whole consortium. That's what Roy named them, the consortia, and they are actually laid out in tissue layers. They have an immune system, chemically based, a circulatory system. One scientist, Laurie Johnson, when someone said they, which I'm saying, she said, not they, it, they're all one organism. The whole 400-foot long and 50-foot long section of the bow part of the Titanic is becoming one of the largest organisms on Earth. The rusticle has a shared circulatory system. And another thing that we suspected from the beginning, and then the evidence began to build up, seeing that they had this chemically based immune system, that it has this chemically based immune system. We started looking at that, and now the work is really beginning to take off. We have just one of these bacteria actually produces antivirals, new antibiotic, and an antibiotic that seems to that in the test tube already, it's working against certain cancer cell lines, liver and breast cancer at this point. And that's just one, and we're dealing with about 30 different organisms living together. If they weren't bacterial and fungal, we would actually say the rusticle belongs, like the sponge, to the field of zoology and not bacteriology, for example.
Why Titanic,
they're
Charlie?
Quite amazing.
Why Titanic? Why are the rusticles on Titanic? Why here and no and not elsewhere?
Part of the rusticle consortium is from hydrothermal vents. They do show up in other places, not as intensely as on the Titanic. But, for example, rusticles were found when they recovered Gus Grissom's capsule after decades on the bottom. We do see them on the German ship, the Bismarck.
How close is the vent to the two sections of the Titanic, which you tell me are a third of a mile apart?
Yeah, near the bow section, the ill-fated submersible Titan had found over a year ago, they found hydrothermal vent, small hydrothermal vent, only about 2,000 feet away from the Titanic. So these hydrothermal vent organisms, which are something that Bob Ballard's team first discovered in 1977, they are all sorts of hydrothermal vent organisms, not just the rusticles, are living on and in the Titanic.
The hydrothermal vents then therefore give up a stream that feeds the rusticles, and the rusticles then feed off the Titanic. I'm trying to figure out what the ecosystem of it is.
Right. It's a very fascinating ecosystem. You have some organisms that will start working on the iron, and especially when another tissue layer grows above it, and then they are living in the absence of oxygen, and they're taking the sulfur out of the iron and passing it along to the rest of the consortium. It's just this whole fascinating cycle that we're only beginning to understand.
And the energy is from the vent? Is there sulfur from the vent? What comes out of the vent?
Yeah, sulfur, hydrogen sulfide, and they're producing that on the Titanic also, these organisms. And where we have basically a whole ecosystem that's based on things like sulfides and even iron in the absence of sunlight. And when Jesse Stoff, for example, he was about 17 when he first came up with the idea and did all the math that predicted hydrothermal vent zones inside places like Jupiter's moon Europa. And I was always saying, well, how can there be life in the absence of sunlight? One day I went over and we started corresponding with Bob Ballard, 1977, the vents are found. And there's these two crazy kids writing to him right away saying, Europa and Titan and Enceladus and so on, you have opened up a whole new window on the universe that there could be life inside ice worlds, which far outnumber worlds like Earth, just looking around our own solar system.
These are called extremophiles, correct? That's what that's what exists at the vent. And are the rusticles regarded as extremophiles?
Yes.
So that it is reasonable to assume we'll find other extremophiles somewhere in the solar system. We're not limiting our search for organisms based on carbon.
Right. Well, they're based on carbon. I mean, the microorganisms, they themselves are carbon-based organisms like us, like the bacteria we have in the air we breathe. And, you know, life itself really seems to be centered around carbon, unless you consider some of the advanced computers and AI life form later on. Eventually, they might be. But organic life, it's seems all a matter of a result of some of the most likely chemical reactions undergone by some of the most common elements in the entire galaxy and probably throughout the universe.
I should have asked right away, what does a rusticle look like, Charlie? Is it colorful? Is it sparkling?
They're usually reddish brown, and actually there are crystals that they somehow generate, so you can find a lot of sparkling. They concentrate a lot of minerals from the ocean itself. For some reason, parts of the rusticle are even creating opal, thin layers of opal. So, yeah, you do. But mostly they're kind of reddish brownish, sometimes with yellow, sometimes with crystalline forms.
And working with rusticles or the bacteria or the fungal parts of rusticles, that's underway now. But that is fresh investigation, right? It didn't exist in the 20th century.
There was some skepticism about it, but now you have Scripps Institute of Oceanography. You have a group in India, Roy Cullimore and I, and Anthony, you've interviewed him. We just waived the idea of having patents on any of the chemicals that would come from the rusticles, because we want labs working on it. Our idea is that this is for all humankind. And if there's something there that can be a new tool against cancer, and boy, we really need new antibiotics, and unexpected that we even have antivirals. No one knew a few years ago how common viruses are in the ocean.
Charles Pellegrino, Ghosts of Vesuvius is the book I recommend. It is the introduction to what we've been discussing, rusticles, three decades later. We're going to turn to another book of Charlie's when we come back that is illustrative of some of the quandary presented by the hit movie Oppenheimer. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.